It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
This is Border Crossings. My name is Larry London, and I'll be your host as we welcome singer-songwriter Banners to our VOA studios. Born Michael Nelson, he began his career at home in Liverpool with Island Records in 2015 and celebrated the release of his debut self-titled EP. In January, Spotify called him one of their 15 artists to watch. His music is often featured on television, and he is currently on his very first U.S. tour. Today, we shine the border crossing spotlight on Banners.
Flags upon the floor, we won this cold war. Battle torn, soldiers fall. Lay down your arms, losing all control. And down this rabbit hole, lost souls, letting go. But I won't. Whoa! Down these halls, these holy walls, echoes of light, lost in time. Do you hear me call? Back when we had nothing, we never stopped running. Back when we had nothing, we had everything. I feel my blood rushing, burning like a glory blaze. Back when we had nothing, we had everything. Eyes against the wall, we won't surrender. Bullets fly, burning skies. If we die tonight, when it all goes up in flames, we'll ride this hurricane and wash away like tidal waves as it fades. Oh, down these halls, these holy walls, echoes of light, lost in time. Back when we had nothing, we never stopped running. Back when we had nothing, we had everything.
In our studios, on tour for his debut EP, we welcome Banners into the studios here in D.C. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's nice to have you here, and all three of you guys, welcome. It's super to be able to check out some brand new music from a brand new artist.
Great. No, it's lovely to be here to check out the capital of your country, make sure everything's been run properly since we left hundreds of years ago.
Now, you are from Liverpool.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Which, of course, we all know in America to be home to the Beatles,
yes,
among many other things.
Mainly the Beatles, though.
But that they were an influence in your music career, I understand.
They can't not be. Mm-hmm. I think anybody that says the Beatles isn't an influence to anybody's career that does pop music is being disingenuous, I think. Mm. I think the Beatles are so all-encompassing with music, in a way that I just don't think has happened since, mm-hmm, or could happen again. in the way that we consume music. So yeah, of course. Of course they
are.
And
Paul McCartney's going on tour again.
I know.
Can you see yourself at 70 something going out?
If I could sing that high when I'm 70 or have that enthusiasm for anything when I'm 70, I think I'll be doing okay. Yeah.
Now, you've been compared to, you know, Chris Martin and Jeff Buckley. I mean, does that put a little bit of pressure on you to say, here's a guy that's in between both?
I will take the Jeff Buckley comparison every day of the week. Jeff Buckley is my absolute favorite. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be compared to him. I would never, ever say I was anywhere near as good as Jeff, but hopefully I get more than one album done anyway.
And the new EP is out now, right?
Yes, it's out. It came out in the start of January. Mm-hmm. So for a couple of months, it's been really cool. Mm-hmm. It's funny, you spend so much time in a recording studio and writing, and often there's not very much daylight going on, and you get so close to these songs, you do so many mixes of them and so many versions, and you add a guitar and you take away a guitar, and it's easy to lose perspective on you know, if it's any good anymore, really. Mm-hmm. So it's lovely to release it and to have really nice feedback, and then to be out playing in your lovely country is great. To meet everybody has been really, really nice.
Now, what was the message you were trying to convey, or is the message you're trying to convey with your EP? Because you pick, I think, four or five songs. When you're just coming out with your very first EP and you've been writing for years and you've been thinking of songs in your head, how did you come up with those?
I think with the first thing you release, you've had your entire life to come up with it. So the first one is just... you've been able to pick and choose the songs. You know, I don't know how many I've written in my life, but there's been plenty, and you're able to really narrow it down to the best ones, and hopefully in that period. But I think realistically, you don't really think about that stuff. I think you just write songs that mean something to you. Mm-hmm. And I think you just do the best. You just put yourself out there in the best of your ability. So I'm not really trying to say anything other than this is what I sound like and this is what I'd like people to hear.
Now, when you get introduced, are you singer-songwriter or songwriter first? Where do you see yourself, your greatest strength?
I'm not sure what I'm better at. I might be no good at either, but I think it's probably, a singer-songwriter is quite a useful term, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm always careful with singer-songwriter because it kind of makes me sound like I'm trying to be Bob Dylan or something like that. You know, like it's just...
Well, you got the hair already, so you're on your way to being Bob Dylan.
The hair is an interesting thing in that people think that this is an attempt. Like, I've done this on purpose. It's the opposite. I'm working against it every day. This really... I feel like I'm more controlled by my hair than by anything else. So I hope it looks good because there's nothing I can do if it doesn't, basically.
You look great. We're glad to have you in our studios, and I'm sure you're thrilled to be with Island. You're one of the new artists. You're kind of the buzz right now. Everybody at Island's excited to have you with the label.
And they're so lovely. It's such an honor when any record label wants to work with you, and it's vindication that it was worth doing all the years of having no money and not being able to afford heating and not getting a real job.
Right.
But it really is such an honor because these, you know, Island, especially if you think about the people that have been on Island, I really, really love Nick Drake, who was on Island back in the 60s. And there's so many great people, you know, Bob Marley was Island. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're trusted to continue that amazing legacy is such a great thing. And I think it really, it just makes you want to work hard for them, and it makes you want to repay that faith, I suppose. Like I say, all the people there are so great. And one of the greatest realizations, I think, like a lot of people growing up, I always assumed the record business was run by people in suits that just looked at numbers and didn't really care about music. But the great revelation to me was that they're just so passionate about it. The people all the way to the top, David Massey's the president there, and he just loves music and he just wants to create great music, and that's all they care about, and everything else is a secondary matter to them, really, which is really great.
And there are so many musicians who would love to be signed by a major label.
Totally.
And this is your first project. You're with a major label. So you're way ahead of the game.
Again, it's such a pleasure. And I think there are times when, you know, there are times when it's hard and where, you know, I'm really far away from all my friends and my family, present company accepted, obviously. But that it is hard, you know, and there's lots of stresses, but then you have to remember how great this is. Mm-hmm. What an absolute honor to do it. And that's what gets you up every day, I think.
All right.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that stuff.
We're thrilled to have you on the show. Banners is with us. If you wouldn't mind doing a song.
Let's do it. Yeah. This song is called Start a Riot. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. I will march down an empty street like a ship into a storm. No surrender, no retreat. I will tear down every wall just to keep you warm, just to bring you home. I will burn this city down for a diamond in the dust. I will keep you safe and sound when there's no one left to trust. Would you take my hand? Can make or stand. If your world falls apart, I'd start right. If night falls in your heart, I'd light the fire. In the dark, when you sound the alarm, we'll find each other's arms. For your love on your arm, start a riot. Yeah. I will wade through the fire and smoke, like sunlight through the haze. I will fight till the flag waves white, until my time ends. And through the bombs and blasts, we can take it back. If your world falls apart, I'd start a riot. If night falls in your heart, I'll light the fire. In the dark, when you sound the alarm, we'll find each other's arms. Feel your love on your arm.
Sounding great.
Thank
Banners
you,
here on
much.
Our show today and on the road for the debut EP.
Yes.
So is this your first tour in the United States?
It is, yeah. Yeah, we did We did like 7 dates in Ontario and Quebec, mm-hmm. which is really cool. And then we played the last gig there was in London, Ontario. They really need to come up with another name for that place because it's confusing. And then the next night was on this tour in Minneapolis. So it was a big old drive. See, the thing is, your country is really big compared to my country.
That's right.
Which has been great. It's with a couple of bands. There's one called Pop Etc. and another one called Moth and the Flame, which are really good. Mm-hmm. And they're really, really lovely people. So it's been great. And it's been so nice to see more of America. Because I obviously know New York quite well, because that's where the label is, and L.A., I know that quite well because they have bits of Island Records there too, mm-hmm. but I don't really know the rest of the country.
This your first time in DC?
First time in DC, yeah.
Are you taking in any of the history here?
Well, I hope to. Yeah, we arrived literally half an hour before I met you, sir. So
really? Oh my goodness!
So you are my experience of Washington so far, and
I'll try
a
to
great
live up
ambassador
to that.
You're being. but we've got. I think we'll have to go to we're playing tonight in Washington, so we'll go and load all our gear in there and sound check. But hopefully there'll be a little bit of time to go and see some stuff. Mm. My drummer and my bass player are wandering around as we speak, so I'm sure there'll be some sort of national security alert imminent.
An incident.
Yeah, in a baseball ground or something.
So the show, when people go see you perform, it's electronic. It's, yes. Today's acoustic scaled down, but
yeah.
So it's a lot bigger and a lot louder?
That's it. Well, what I did, I wrote and recorded all the songs with my producer in Toronto. And then, so we got session musicians in to play a lot, to play everything. He plays guitar and I play the guitar and the piano, so... and then when it came time to do it live, I recruited these lovely lads. Danny is an old friend of mine from England, so that's great to be able to get him over. And the thing is, you spend so much time in a van. I mean, it's important that everyone sounds great, but you spend so much time in a van.
Right.
You know, a 14-hour drive to Minneapolis, or we're going to Atlanta after here. So the main thing is that you get on really well, and it's been a real pleasure to do that.
Now that's Danny.
So this is Danny, yeah.
And this is
Nate.
Nate, and yeah. But your real name is Michael.
My real name's Mike. Yeah.
So how did you end up with Banners?
Well, I think the record label decided my name wasn't interesting enough for a start. It was an awful thing to say to my parents.
They were going
to
call you Adele, but that was taken.
Adele was taken, yeah, which is a shame because we all really liked it.
That's it.
Yeah, it was just a case of I liked the idea of coming up with something that can essentially be a blank canvas, you know, something that that doesn't really mean much to anybody as of itself. Mm-hmm. It's just a word that you can build, you know, you can hopefully make cool by the music that you make and build as a, I don't like to use the word brand, but you know, you can brand it in a certain way and you can do all the logos and all the design and all that stuff. And you can almost paint on that canvas yourself, I suppose, by how you present yourself and your music. And
well, back in the 60s here in the United States, we had the British invasion. It seems like that's happening again now.
Yeah,
if you look at the chart, you got Ellie, you've got Ed Sheeran, you know, Adele, as we mentioned, you know, on and on and on the list of the British influences on American music tastes.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's a lot of great stuff going on in England. And obviously I'm really proud of my hometown, Liverpool, but there's lots of great stuff, but you know, there's a lot of great stuff in Toronto and the US and it's lovely to just be part of that. Mm-hmm. This was all really out of North America that I did it. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I signed to Island Records in the States as opposed
to
in the UK. So North America's been really good to me so far. And I wouldn't call it an invasion. I don't want to use incendiary language, obviously. I'm still smarting about the 1700s. But but yeah, it's really great. And the crowds have been so responsive and so positive. It's been nice.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is there a difference between the response at home versus here in the States?
Truthfully, I wouldn't know. I've never played in England, so I don't know.
Really?
I've done like open mic nights and stuff like that.
Wow.
I've seen a lot of music in Liverpool, obviously. Liverpool is great because... There's, in the same sense as when the Beatles did their thing, there's a real sense of there's a real DIY thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think people are, you know, because it's a port city and it's a very passionate people in Liverpool about many things, mainly music and football. So people just have a passion for making music, and often it's like, you know, you would learn four chords on a guitar and then you would find a bass player and a drummer and then get up on stage. And the great thing is that people feel empowered to do that because the audiences are just so passionate about listening to live music that it doesn't need to be the greatest thing in the world. They just want to enjoy it.
Hmm.
So my experience is a little bit different in that it's very professional as well. You know, it's playing with really great musicians, which has been a real pleasure to do. Yeah, can't remember what I was talking about originally, but anything to draw me back to Liverpool.
Now, when you started off to do music, did you envision that you would have a career in the United States first before back home?
And... I don't know how much you envision anything. I think you just try to make the best music you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
I never tried to tailor it to how other people, how people would listen to it. I just wanted to write the songs that I wanted to listen to, really. There was never really a cynicism in terms of having a career, mm-hmm. or I just had things that meant a lot to me. So I sat down in front of a piano and these are the ones that came out, really. And then obviously I signed to Island and you look at things slightly differently, but you still always try to come back to making the best possible music you can and the things that matter to you. Because I think if you can't make it matter to you, it's never going to matter to anybody mm-hmm. else, you know?
Well, there's a lot of people who may not know the name Banners, but they certainly know your music because your music has been used on ESPN, on MTV. Yeah. You're in a FIFA sport video game, there's, I guess?
Yeah, FIFA 16 is a soccer game, yeah. I've been really lucky. There's a lot of people that are responsible for that. I can't pretend it's just me. That Island Records have a really great TV and film department. And mm-hmm. I've been really lucky in that I've got a lot of really good people working for me. And I think the music works mm-hmm. over, it's quite cinematic, I think. So it's been used quite a lot on the television. As you say, ESPN have used it quite a lot. It's on the FIFA game. It's been on a few movie trailers and a few MTV stuff. You know, there's a show called Teen Wolf that it was in, and there's one called The Royals. And yeah, it's been great. It's been really nice.
Wow, fun ride so far. And it's just getting started.
Just getting started, yeah.
All right, Banners is here. If you guys would do another song, tell me about this one.
This one is an old song. So the last one we played and the next one we'll play are relatively new. I wrote them with my producer in Toronto. But this one's a really old one. Mm-hmm. And this is a good example of waking up in the middle of the night and having a song that you have to run downstairs and record on a piano. So I wrote a vast bulk of it in about 20 minutes, I think. This is about 6 or 7 years ago. And then, funnily enough, me and Danny did some work on it and polished it up and made it better. Danny told me the things that were rubbish about it, and we tried to fix them, basically. So this one's called Ghosts.
I hear voices awoken from my sleep. I'm haunted by the thoughts that creep. And if the earthquake's down, buildings fall, I'm pulling pictures on from our walls until you say you
Love it.
Thank you, sir.
Very nice.
Thanks.
I read in your bio where it says that you like to incorporate choral echoes
sure.
and cinematic influences.
Yeah. Well, I in Liverpool, there's we have two really cool cathedrals there because mm-hmm. With it being such a... we got a lot of our population from Ireland when the potato famine happened, so it's very Catholic and Protestant, or it was. And then... So we have two cathedrals, a Catholic one and a Protestant, an Anglican cathedral. And the Catholic one they built in the 60s and is kind of cool and an interesting shape, but the Anglican one is this massive, beautiful old sandstone building
mm-hmm.
That took them like close to 100 years to build, I think. And it's really beautiful and ornate and Gothic. And I used to sing in that one in the choir there mm-hmm. from when I was like 7 until I was about 15.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real full-time thing. It was like after school pretty much every day and all the weekends. So I was there a lot. Like I say, it was like a full-time job. So I think it's there's a point when you do it that much. Mm-hmm. And it's a really high, not to blow my mind from it, but it's a really high standard mm-hmm. that you're expected to keep
sure.
up with. So so it's, yeah, I think at some point it becomes almost hardwired in you. I love of that stuff, and the building itself is so big. It's like it's the biggest Anglican building in the world, and I think it's the fifth biggest church in the mm-hmm. world. So you get used to these huge soundscapes because the reverb is just so long, and so it's such a huge building to fill. I think that's really rubbed off in the music that I make now, really, in that you just want to make it cavernous and beautiful, really. One of the things I learned in the cathedral, one of the big mantras almost, was that it took them so long to build that building, and however you feel about religion, I'm not particularly religious, but God, the concept was that it was for the glory of God, and that's why they make it as ornate at the top where no one will ever see it mm-hmm. as they do at the bottom where everybody sees it. You know, it's at the roof, which you can't get up to the roof, you can't see it, but it's so beautiful. And the idea was that the same with music, that even if there was 10 people in on a Monday night, which mm-hmm. there often was, in a building that could hold 10,000, you still performed as well as you possibly could, because you had to pay homage to that building and to mm-hmm. what it stood for and the people that made it, I guess. And that's something that I've always tried to think of mm-hmm. when we're playing and recording or writing or even playing a gig. Sometimes you do play them to not very many people. Mm-hmm. You've got to make it as brilliant as you can, as if there's 1,000 or whatever. Mm. There was a kid the other night, it was his first ever gig when he came to see us in Albany. And I just thought, like, you have to make it as good as you possibly can for him, because you want to make him go and see a million more gigs in his
right.
life. And you want to, but you know, there was a little boy there last night, and it's so lovely wow. to meet these people. And you think, well,
and he'll be talking about his very first concert for the rest of his life.
Exactly. And you go and hang out with him afterwards, and you know, that's what it was like for me when I first yeah. go and see gigs, and now it ignites a passion, and I think that's what you try to do in people when you make music, really.
What was your first concert?
It was, there was a band in Liverpool called The Coral,
mm-hmm.
which is C-O-R-A-L, who I used to love when I was a kid. So it was them. And I remember, I think my mum bought me tickets, actually, and the feeling of it, like, I couldn't believe how loud it was. I couldn't believe how loud live music is, because you have nothing to prepare you for. Amplifiers turned up that loud, and it was great. And then from then on, you just hooked, aren't you, then, I think.
Is that when you knew you wanted to do this for a career, or?
It's hard to say. I mean, I always, like I say, I don't know how much you think about it. I think you just know that you have a passion for singing. I was very lucky in that my dad is a record producer, so I spent a lot of time in recording studios growing up. I mean, it was the same thing. I think from a really early age, I just always wanted to be in that environment,
because
it's so magical. The idea of turning up in the morning and there being nothing, and by the end of the day when the band's recorded their stuff and you've worked on it, all of a sudden there's this thing exists in mm-hmm. the universe. It was just a totally magical thing for me. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, from a really young age, it was like, I want to be involved in that. And I, for a time, was training to be an engineer and a producer, but you always want to be the other side of the glass or the other side of the microphone sure. or the guitar. So.
And I would assume, because if your dad was a producer, that you'd have artists, bands coming in and yeah. out of your life and your house constantly yeah, growing up.
Exactly. And you can pick up a lot about how to hold yourself and how to act with people and mm-hmm. what the successful bands, how they interact with audiences mm-hmm. and people. And I think that's a really big thing. But it was really important to me to stand on my own two feet with it, really, which is why I moved to Toronto to work with my producer. That's a guy mm-hmm. called Stephen Kosmaniuk, because I didn't want... my dad is amazing for source of advice and for all that stuff, but I wanted my music to sink or swim on its own merits, really, mm-hmm. and to know that if it did get somewhere, it was because of me and me alone and not because of some unfair leg up, mm-hmm. or, you know.
I love your sound. I mean, now I understand why you're compared to, you know, Chris Martin, Coldplay, sure. and Jeff Buckley.
Sure.
Because certainly acoustic, you can hear that. You can certainly hear that guitar sound, you know, the way it sounds.
Yeah.
And the piano influence, too, from Coldplay.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you think that that's true, because I love both of those bands and artists. Like I say, Jeff Buckley is a real hero of mine, mm-hmm. So I'm glad, like I say, I can't imagine I'm anywhere near as good as he is, but you can always try, can't you?
Why not? To be compared to those people, you're sure. in good company.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the EP comes out, then the album. So what's the story behind the album? When can we expect an album?
Well, I got it. Obviously, it's March now. So we'll be touring until the very start of April. And then there's a little bit of time off in April and then more stuff. So I got to finish the album in April, basically. I think most of it is written, but maybe we got to... Me and my producer write one or two mm-hmm. more just to have them. I'm hoping to release an album in the summer, hopefully mm-hmm. early fall, I think, which would be cool. I'm really excited to do it. Like I say, it's just so lovely you have all these songs that no one can really hear yet, and mm-hmm. it's so great to pull them out and see how they do, you know. Mm-hmm. So far, people have been very nice, but I just have to keep trying, make sure that stays the same.
And they're all originals. You've written all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's hard to, sometimes, you know, there's artists who don't write.
Well, Jeff Buckley's a really good example. I mean, he wrote loads of songs, but Jeff Buckley was so good that he could make a classic song like Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Right.
Jeff was so good at it that Hallelujah is, in my mind, a Jeff Buckley song, mm-hmm. you know, in the same way that Jimi Hendrix was so good that All Along the Watchtower is a Jimi Hendrix song,
right.
even though it was written by Bob Dylan, you mm-hmm. know. So, but there hasn't, I mean, maybe at some point there'll be a cover that, mm-hmm. that I feel like I can do justice. But I think until you know you can do it justice and you can pay homage to the original, I think it's a dangerous thing as well. I don't like to play covers live because mm-hmm. at this point, you're the song that everybody would know the most in your set wouldn't be your own one.
Right.
Which I think is a dangerous thing when you're trying to develop mm-hmm. yourself as an artist and mm-hmm. as a concept, I suppose.
Have you ever had writer's block?
Writer's block's a funny thing. I think writer's block is, personally, I think it's that's all in people's head. Mm. I think it only exists if you want it to or if you perceive it to exist. I think there are two ways of songwriting, both as legitimate as each other. One is the whole, like I was saying, with Ghosts, where mm-hmm. you suddenly get the inspiration and you rush downstairs in the middle of the night and record it on a piano. But you can't rely on that. You can't write an album like that. That might happen.
You'd never sleep.
Once a lifetime. Well, exactly. Exactly. And I think the other way is that you turn up to the studio at 10 o'clock in the morning and you leave at 6 o'clock at night and you mm-hmm. do it the next day and the next day and you work at it. Because I think songwriting is like a muscle. And the mm-hmm. more you work at it, the better and the stronger it becomes. The same way like going to the gym is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So you just have to work through writer's block, I think. Obviously, it happens. There are days where nothing comes out and you think, I'm never going to write a song ever again. But the next day you turn up and you just get a pad of paper in front of you and a pen and write the first line and then just keep going with it.
What a tremendous talent. you're very fortunate to have that.
I'm very fortunate to have a lot of really talented people around me and a lot of great people to work with, because I can't pretend I can do it all on my own. You just try to be the the figurehead, I think, and mm-hmm. tried to be at the top of a pyramid, and I guess the face of a great many people that are doing a really good job, I think.
All right. Well, Banners is here, and if you wouldn't mind doing another song. We've got time for one more.
I'll sing it. I'll hold my guitar, but I'm not going to play it.
What's the name of this one?
This one's called China Light. This is the song that was in FIFA and has been on a few things. I really like it. It's good. It's about, like I was saying, about how sometimes this stuff can be kind of stressful, and like I say, I'm a long way away from my friends and my family. And this is about kind of feeling lost at sea, and about feeling, basically about looking for a ray of light or a ray of hope when you feel like your little rowboat is going to get sunk with the next big wave. And it's about, could be about a girl, or it could be about, or a boy, or it could be about God, whatever people think. But yeah, that might make more sense once we've done it. Play your piano, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Shine the light on me. Say, oh.
Sounding great.
Thanks, man.
Sounding great. That's Banners from the album Banners, which is now available, and the artist Banners. Thank you all for coming in and joining us. Where can people go to get that EP?
They can go, well, it's on Spotify. You can get it on iTunes. You could just come and see me play live, and I'll sign one for you right there.
And if people want to check out the show, what's your website so people can get you?
I think, well, it's on Twitter. It's at Banners Music. Mm-hmm. It's the same on Facebook, and the website is listentobanners.com.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on the
show. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
A pleasure to meet you, and look forward to the album coming out a little later on this year.
Great. Thanks, mate.
Banners, our guest here on Border Crossings. Thanks for watching.
Hey, I'm Taylor Swift, and you're listening to Larry London on The Voice of America. 'Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. 'Cause baby, now we got bad blood.
Hey, I can't take it back. Look where I'm at. We was OD like DOC, remember that? My TOC was quite OD, ID my facts. Now POV of you and me, similar Iraq. I don't hate you, but I hate to critique, overrate you. These beats of a dark heart use bass lines to replace you. Take time and erase you. Love don't hear no more, no, I don't fear no more. Better yet, respect ain't quite sincere no more.
Oh, it's so sad to think about the good times. You and I. 'Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. 'Cause baby, now we got bad blood. Hey! Now we got problems. And I don't think we can solve them. You made a really deep cut. And baby, now we got bad blood.
Hey! Remember when you tried to write me off? Remember when you thought I'd take a loss? Don't you remember you thought that I would need you? Follow procedure, remember? Oh wait, you got amnesia? It was my season for battle wounds, battle scars, body bump, bruise, stabbed in the back, brimstone fire jumping through. Still all my life I got money and power, and you gotta live with the bad blood now.
Just for show, if you live like that, you live with ghosts.
You forget, but you never let it go.
Band-aids don't fix bullet holes. You say sorry just for show. If you live like that, you live with ghosts. If you love like that.
Well, that was Taylor Swift's song from the 1989 album. She's had 7 releases off of the new album, and that song was one of the biggest and got a lot of attention at the Grammys and has been streamed millions of times. That song is Bad Blood. It's a request from Kuwait and Pochin, who's listening to our program. My name is Larry London. If there's a song you'd like to hear on Border Crossings, I have several ways that you can get us to play your song. First of all, you can call 202-619-2077. You can also email bordercrossings@voa.gov. You can go to twitter.com, send a tweet to #BCVOA, or you can go to facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Coming up next, Ethiopia's in the house. It's a request from Tay, who wants Michael Jackson's Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it,
Coming up next from Nigeria, Ndiyamaki wants me to play Bob Marley, Three Little Birds, right here on Border Crossings. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Border Crossings. I hope you enjoyed banners on the program and also the requests and dedications. My name's Larry London, and I will be with you again soon right here on this program. Keep those requests coming our way. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Make your request and dedication for Border Crossings. Thank you, Vince, our director for today. I'm Larry London, and we'll see you soon on Border Crossings here on the VOA 1 Music Network. Hi.